Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday? Yeah, I wrote this morning. So it's Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me and Dan the Man. If you'd like to come into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Whatever else you need, get on over to sportstimeradio.com. That's where that blog popped up this morning after I wrote it, so you can swing on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. You know, we still don't understand why Mr. Fantasy doesn't, but he's just like that, and we kind of let it go. I just like to bring it up from time to time. Of course, don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are both on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Dan. Well, they handed out the American League Cy Young. The National League will be going to Jacob DeGrom here any minute. But in a pretty close race here, Blake Snell beats out Justin Verlander. Corey Kluber finished a distant third. We had Chris Sale in fourth, Garrett Cole in fifth, Trevor Bauer and Blake Tryon tied for sixth. Some guys were nice enough to give Edwin Diaz four fifth-place votes, even though he saved like 110 games. And Lou Severino made it onto a ballot. So, you know, with the exception of Kluber really kind of being tromped down into third place without a chance, no surprise here, right? I know everybody was kind of excited because Blake Snell won 21 games with the Rays. So, I mean, are you shocked, or were you expecting Verlander or Kluber to win?
I was expecting Verlander or Kluber.
So, yeah, you know, it seems like everything has really changed, and I guess we've got to call it the Mike Trout rule or the Mike Trout effect. Because remember, it used to be that you basically kind of had to be on a team that was at least in playoff contention to, you know, kind of merit real consideration for these awards. But now, you know, with sabermetrics involved and them not being able to give Trout awards because, let's face it, the Angels suck, you know, they've all of a sudden decided that, well, you know, it doesn't matter how the team does. And I've actually had voters say that. So do you think that helps Snell out? Because, you know, while the Rays were 80 and 82, they were never a playoff factor at all.
I think, you know, the Mike Trout rule definitely comes into play. I'm actually thinking after next year that we may as well not even do these picks anymore. Just do our standing picks.
Yeah, you know, what's weird is, like, you know, I like to do them for fun and just kind of see, you know, if we could have a little outside-the-box thinking. But, yeah, with the way they do it now, it's, you know, to be honest, to make any type of prediction, you know, is, you know, it's borderline stupid at this point with just the way they do things. I mean, you know, you can, you know, if you would have went in and picked Mike Trout for the American League MVP every year since we started doing this, you'd have been right, what, three times? Two, three times, and you'd have been right there every other time because he finished or whatever. So,
yeah. Something you like to do for fun, but at the same point, it's like it's losing its fun because they're picking guys that deserve it.
You know, and, you know, like I, you know, Snell at least was a bit of a surprise. You know, he kind of came out of nowhere, had a really good year. So, you know, this doesn't bother me too much. you know, I've kind of accepted that they're going to give the National League Award to DeGrom. That should be coming out before you and I go off the air here. I think the Snell Award just went out, and you know, they'll probably wait 30 minutes or so before they announce DeGrom as the NL guy. But yeah, I mean, you look at it, and I mean, he had the great ERA, but you know, it's odd because he had the great ERA and he still found a way to lose 9 games. I mean, he was 10-9 on a team that was just an embarrassment after about the first month of the season. But you know, he's the pick because wins mean nothing, and you know, it's all about everything else when it comes to pitching now. So I don't get it.
If wins mean nothing, then write it. I'll get it.
Yeah, it's humorous how they kind of use it both ways, don't they? Because I actually saw somebody who said one of the things, and this was before the voting came out, but one of the things that was going to get Snell over the top was the fact that he won 21 games. But yet, if you listen to good old Brian Kenny on the MLB Network, he'll say over and over that wins mean absolutely nothing for a pitcher. So, yeah, just kind of however you want to look at it, I guess. You know, it's like, okay, here you go. We're gonna do this, and there's nothing you can do about it. And you know, that's pretty much how it goes. I mean, you know, Verlander pitched for a team that won 100, you know, 100 games. You know, Kluber pitched for a team that dominated its division. Granted, it wasn't a great division, but, you know, still they dominated it at least. But, you know, again, none of that equals out because we have sabermetrics, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, well, and I think one of the things is I have less of an issue or more of an excitement in making, you know, these picks if there was an established criteria as opposed to, well, we're the media, these are the guys we like.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, I mean, it was, you know, you knew it was a joke yesterday when, you know, Joe Maddon got like, low, you know, you know, probably the most talented in the National League and could get it into the playoffs. But yet got the first place vote for manager of the year. So, you know, and sadly, you know, that was by a guy I had to respect listening to on the radio until yesterday. Now I could care less what the guy has to say because, you know, obviously he's a complete tool bag. So,
yeah, it definitely lowered my expectations for him, I guess.
You know, yeah, waste time for the guy to come with his ball. I mean, you know, I would love, you know, I'm sure he's got a fantastic explanation. I know your reasoning is correct. And he'll be able to get those club interviews and those golf interviews if he needs to. Because I'm sure they'll look and go, oh, yeah, this is the guy who supported us. So, you know, we'll talk to him.
Well, and don't forget that he works for the station that broadcasts our game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They are. You know, sometimes I still forget that they're over there. So, yeah, even worse. Yeah, you know, he's voting, you know, working for the station that covers the games. Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, I don't care how long he's been covering baseball. They should analyze these things, and guys like that should lose their votes. You know, they should just have them taken away. There's got to be better guys out there in Chicago who would do a competent job and, you know, actually look at the stats and, you know, figure out who's who. And, you know, even in this situation, I mean, break it down. You know, if you want to give it to Snell because of the wins, okay, I get it. But how many meaningful games did he pitch in compared to Verlander or Kluber?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I'm not even talking postseason because that doesn't count.
Well, not only that, I mean, how many of those games that he won did, you know, the Yankees or the Red Sox pull a Popovich?
Yeah. So, you know, but, you know, you know, like I said, I've kind of come to terms with it, and, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I'm sure, you know, tomorrow I'll be a little more heated when they find a way to give Mike Trout the AL MVP award. You know, that'll probably be the end of it for me. My head may actually explode if they do that, so... You know, we'll have to see. But, yeah, you know, while we wait for the voting to come out on DeGrom's Cy Young, I saw there was a trade, Dan. The Indians and the Pirates made a trade. The Pirates sent Jordan Luplow and Max Moroff, who were a couple guys that had bounced around up and down with the Pirates, to the Indians. And, no, the Indians didn't trade away any of their big guys like they were talking about. They shipped off a couple minor league pitchers, Dante Mendoza and Tajna Thomas. And the third guy in the deal is Eric Gonzalez, who was a relatively decent prospect with the Indians. So I'm a little surprised they shipped him off. He hit a 265 in 81 games, 136 at the Indians. And he played all four infield positions. So, you know, maybe he'll get some more playing time with the Pirates, and we'll see if he, you know, if he ends up doing anything. I guess they're just, you know, with kind of the way the Indians were put together, there just really wasn't a spot for him, you think?
Pretty much. Even though they're supposed to be looking to move some of their guys.
Yeah, you know, we'll see how that kind of shakes off. And then I saw that the Phillies put Justin Bour on waivers. I'm wondering how it works in the off season. You know, is it the same way where now they have 10 days to trade him or release him, or is he just relieved? You know, we'll have to see how that goes. But, yeah, you know, they just kind of picked him up to have a left-handed power bat on the bench, so I'm not surprised he's gone. But, yeah, it's going to be a weird left-handed first baseman market now. You know, once Bohr gets out there, he'll be there with Matt Adams, Logan Morrison, and your guy Lucas Duda. Aren't they all just kind of the same player?
Pretty much.
Well, we'll have to see how that goes, and if you know if he finds work. So,
would you put Duda at the lowest of the three, though?
Well, you know, I Morrison is coming off an injury, so I don't know really. You know, Adams is the only one I think capable of playing another position. He can play the corner outfield positions. So that may actually put him on top when it comes to a team signing him. You know, I think, you know, maybe I would probably go Adams, Bohr, Duda, and then Morrison, depending on how healthy he is. So, but, yeah, you know, well, there's always a chance the team will claim Bohr and you won't have to go into free agency. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's going to be one of those weird markets, and I wonder how many of these guys are going to get deals, or if they're going to be kind of sitting out there when the, you know, as the younger guys get the playing time. So, cause yeah, I don't, I don't expect a team like the Marlins to spend any money on these guys. And I don't know, maybe the Twins would be interested in bringing Morrison back. You know, maybe he would give them a deal if he got hurt on their watch last year, but I don't see there being a huge market for any of these guys, do you?
No. They might be guys being picked up after the new year. Short of spring training, we are looking for that extra bat.
I would think maybe a team looking for like a left-handed hitting DH, you know, might have a little interest there. you know, if maybe they're going to try to platoon or something like that. But I don't see anybody running to, you know, give these guys full-time jobs anywhere. But yeah, you know, I wanted to switch up here, Dan. You know, we can come back to baseball. They announce DeGrom as the Cy Young winner. But I was wondering if you saw any of this. It was a couple days ago during the Golden State Warriors game. Draymond Green got a last second rebound, and they were tied or they were down one. And for some reason, and I guess this is just kind of, this falls into Draymond being Draymond, kind of like, you know, good old Manny being Manny. He took the ball the length of the court, threw up a hideous-looking shot that had no chance of going in. When Kevin Durant was wide open on the other side of the court clapping for the ball, they ended up getting into an argument on the bench. And it turned out that for last night's game, Golden State decided to suspend Draymond Green. I don't know. Is this something that, you know, can kind of tear the Warriors up? You know, I mean, is this the weakness we're looking for? I mean, Curry's going to be out for, they're saying, 10 to 14 more days. You know, Draymond Green is notoriously difficult to get along with. You know, he's yelled at everybody on his team. And it seems like they sided with Durant, who's headed into free agency, and there's a lot of talk he's not coming back to the Warriors. So I don't know. Is this the opening another Western Conference team needs, or LeBron and the Lakers need to get past them?
Or to get them to have Durant join them.
So, you know, or for the Bulls to beat them in the NBA Finals? Oh, wait a second. Oh, too soon.
Yeah, way too soon. But no, I did see an article today that I didn't read, but it was headlined with, is everyone, you know, essentially, is everyone tired of Durant on this team?
Yeah, I don't know. Is everyone tired of Durant, or is everybody tired of getting yelled at by Draymond Green? So, you know, obviously he's not yelling at Steph Curry, but, you know, there have been things happen with him and Klay Thompson, and I believe him and Andre Iguodala. You know, it's not the first time he's yelled at a teammate like this. You know, but I, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, they're longtime Warriors, so I think they get over it faster than a situation like this. And I don't know, do you think Durant's impending free agency kind of adds to this even more?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's already got the rings, right? Doesn't need to say.
Right. You know, and that seems to be the thing everybody's talking about is the fact that now, you know, he's got his couple rings. He'll probably get another one this year. You know, he might as well go, you know, go wherever he wants to go. I mean, there's a lot of talk about New York. You know, he lives in Washington. I don't know if he's originally from Washington. I don't know if the Wizards could get him under the cap with the guy going on there. And, by the way, thank you for taking that John Wall trade. He was quite frustrating for me this year, so I hope he does better for you. But I don't know. I mean, I guess for me, and I don't know if you feel the same way, it's kind of hard for me to see the Warriors self-destruct. I mean, in the end, they're still going to win it. You just think this is a bump in the road?
Yeah, it's just a bump in the road.
No.
I mean, who's really going to beat them? Jimmy Butler.
I guess even fighting, they could probably, you know, they could probably still beat most teams, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and then the other story, I was waiting for something to become official, but I don't think anything has been announced yet. Apparently, your guy is going to be out of a job again, Dan. It looks like the Rockets are going to let Carmelo go, where's he end up? He get another gig? What's he do? I thought he was playing okay with them, but I guess maybe, you know, he's not a great 3-point shooter, and that's kind of the Rockets game. So, you know, maybe that's why they want to ship him off. But yeah, you got him going to the Lakers. You got him going somewhere else. I know I heard the term they used for the Sixers was they were kicking the tires.
I mean, that wouldn't be a bad pickup for them, but I think he's going to L.A. He's going to play with long-time buddy.
You know, we know he has friends with LeBron, so, you know, that definitely could be a fit. And it's not going to, you know, whoever decides to pick him up, you know, it's going to cost them all a $1.5 million, which is nothing in the NBA these days. You know, between the Thunder or the Hawks and the Rockets paying everything else off, it's not gonna be a huge deal for a team to bring him in and take a look at him. I guess the question more now, Dan, is, you know, he's 34. I really like the situation he was in last year in Oklahoma City, and it didn't work out. I guess you got to start asking, is he done?
He's definitely on his way to being done.
So, you know, because he is, you know, he was drafted, what was he? He was the third pick in the draft, you know, LeBron came out in. So that was, what, 03, 04? You know, he was the third pick. In case you don't remember, the Pistons actually took Darko Milicic ahead of Carmelo. Yeah, 2003 was that NBA draft. So yeah, he's been around, what, you know, 16 seasons, 17. This is 17th season. He's not built like LeBron is. You know, he's sleeker and thinner. So, you got to wonder kind of how the wear and tear is compared to LeBron. And, you know, he had one, you know, that one – or actually, no, he's been pretty healthy. He had the one year he only played 40 games with the Knicks due to injury. But other than that, yeah, he's been relatively healthy through his career. So, you know, he's logged 1,064 games in the NBA at a total. But yeah, does he need to go to China or something like that to finish out his career?
I don't think he'll do that. I think we'll see him in the big three. But no, I mean, he had the last really good season he had was in 2013.
You know, now he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? Do you have him as a going in with his first try?
I would, but I don't really know how the NBA works with that.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how the voting process is, but I mean, you look at it. I mean, you know, it's a guy who's he's a 10-time All-Star. He was named to the All-NBA team 6 times. He was Rookie of the Year. He actually beat LeBron out for that Rookie of the Year award that first year, which is saying something because he was in Denver at the time. Not exactly the most covered team in the NBA. He won a scoring title as well. So, you know,
Yeah, but don't you think not having a ring hurts that?
You know, I think that's the one drawback when you kind of look at his career. You know, that's the one thing you can say, but, you know, it's so tough because if they, you know, did, you know, obviously the Nuggets never did, but did the Knicks ever give him the players around him to succeed?
Not really.
You know, so it's always kind of tough. Yeah, I mean, it's always kind of tough to hold that against the guy when you look at it, because he's a star, and they're supposed to go get him players, and boy, they didn't go get him. They never went and got him anybody.
Well, I mean, they got him Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, but...
You know, yeah, little too late to blow with that one. But, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of it. Who's the best player who's played in New York alongside him?
Porzingis as a rookie?
Yeah, that was, what were they together, one or 2 years?
I think one. I mean, because he had that injury season, so.
But yeah, because you know, I'm trying to think. I mean, how many playoff appearances the Knicks made, you know, while he was there, and you know that kind of stuff. But I just don't remember him being paired with, you know, with too many what we would, you know, what you'd call great players.
Wait, didn't he play with Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith?
Yeah, he did for a little while. You know, I know, you know, like a lot of guys went through there. You know, I know Tyson Chandler had a stop there. I don't remember how long he was there. You know, and then they did bring in Amari Stoudemire, but he was never the player in New York that he was in Portland or Phoenix? Phoenix, when he was with Steve Nash. You know, he never really kind of reclaim that form. So yeah, it's, you know, while he didn't win a title, I guess Karl Malone went in the Hall of Fame and he never won it. You know, so did John Stockton. They never won a championship.
Yeah, but all those guys from that era, they had no chance with Jordan.
So, yeah, well, Carmelo had LeBron, you know.
Yeah, but he didn't go up against them. I mean, if you think about it, you really couldn't even, not that we're that great with remembering who was in the playoffs for the NBA, but, you know, their playoff times between the time he came there till a couple of years ago are pretty insignificant if you think about it.
Yeah, no, I'll have to see if I, you know, come up with now maybe if I think seasons or something, it'll their record.
Well, I mean, if you know, right on. Bing should take you straight to Basketball Reference, and clicking on the Knicks record should be able to tell you, you know, where they were. But I mean, it's hard to even really point out remembering, because then I would have watched. I would have watched a little bit more. Oh, you know, if the Knicks were in, I know they did make the playoffs, but between like in the East, all you had to do was show up.
Yeah, actually, it decided that Wikipedia was my best option for a list of Knicks. When Carmelo was a rookie, they made the playoffs and they got knocked out in the first round by the New Jersey Nets. Then they didn't get in again until 2010-2011. They got knocked out in the first round by the Boston Celtics. 2011-2012, they made it again, and they got knocked out in the first round by the Miami Heat. Interestingly, Tyson Chandler was the defensive player of the year that year.
Yeah, but Carmelo started with the Nuggets, not the Knicks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When did he come to the Knicks? It was 8 years or 7 years?
It's like 11 or 12?
Yeah. So, yeah, he was here. I think that his first year here was when they got knocked out by the Celtics. I know he was here when they lost to the Heat and Chandler won Defensive Player of the Year. They made it a third year in a row and actually beat the Celtics in the first round before they lost to the Pacers in the conference finals. That was 2012-2013, and J.R. Smith was named Sixth Man of the Year. But that was the last time they made the playoffs. So it looks like they went 3 years in a row with him, and then not again. So, yeah. I don't know how much, how much you consider that success or not. I mean, not getting in. I still think eventually he ends up in the Hall of Fame, though, don't you?
Yeah, well, and I think the odd part is after the last time they made it, it was when Jackson took over, and then they pretty much just turned into an insignificant team in the NBA.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, who takes a look at him. And, I know part of the problem seemed to be what role he would accept. Because remember, at the end of the season with the Thunder, when they wanted to bring him off the bench last year, he said no. He thought he was a starter. So,
I think he's going to have to learn to come off the bench.
Definitely. So, but yeah, exciting. I think Butler makes his debut. It's either tonight or tomorrow night. The Wolves decided to take the deal with the 76ers, which was Robert Covington, Dario Saric, and a second-round pick. They actually had a couple more offers. Remember, early in the Butler doings, the Houston Rockets offered 4 first-round picks, and I guess they were willing to give up 2 players as well, being Brandon Knight and Marquise Chris. The Rockets came back with a counter, offering Eric Gordon Nene and 2 first-round picks. And then the Pelicans wanted to jump in, Dan. They were willing to give up Nikola Mirotic and an unprotected first-round pick. The problem was they couldn't find a way. Mirotic's salary wasn't enough to match Butler's, so they would have had to find a way to probably kick in another player. But those were the offers the Timberwolves had out there. Do you like the one they took, or would you have maybe explored one of the other ones?
I think I would have tried exploring what the Pelicans were offering.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see who else they would have been willing to include in the deal. And then to get that unprotected first-round pick, that means if you get lucky and they fall in the lottery, you've got a lottery pick on your hands. So, of course, I don't know, with the way Houston is playing, maybe they should have taken those 2 first-round picks. And, Houston, they haven't been playing all that fantastic so far. This was the odd mysteries of the early NBA season is what the heck is going on with the Rockets. So, that's one of the million-dollar questions. Can you figure it out, Dan? What's going on with the Rockets?
They had it, and now they're losing it.
Yeah.
But, it's still early. It's still early.
Yeah.
So they might be able to pick it back up again.
Yeah, I wasn't too panicked by it. The All-Star break, I would worry about it.
I do think that Jimmy Butler would have been a great addition to the team because they don't really have guys that play defense, and Jimmy's two-way. And not only that, if they really wanted him, I think they could have found a way to make it work. They just, this is what we're given, so take it or leave it.
Yeah, so. But all right, Dan, we can bounce back. It's official. Jacob DeGrom is your National League Cy Young Award winner, Dan. Not only did he win, Dan, he dominated. 29 out of 30 first place votes went to Jacob DeGrom. Who got the other one, Dan?
John Lester from Bruce Levine.
No, Lester actually got. I'm going to look and see if that was from Levine. Oddly, DeGrom got 29 first-place votes and 1 second-place vote. Max Scherzer got 29 second-place votes and 1 first-place vote.
And 1.
So Aaron Nola rolled in third. He had 27 third place votes. Then Kyle Freeland, who I know you liked, you thought he had a pretty good season, came in fourth. Patrick Corbin in fifth. Miles Mikolas in sixth. Josh Hader in seventh. Mike Fulton-Nawich in eighth. And then John Lester with that fourth place vote comes in ninth. So
not bad.
Oh, I'm looking here, Dan, and Levine didn't have a vote, so he didn't vote for Lester. I can tell you that it was Thomas Harding, Colorado, MLB.com Colorado, who had Lester as a four. The only guy who didn't vote for DeGrom, John, I'm going to guess this is Maffey, M-A-F-F-E-I, from the San Diego Union Tribune. He had Scherzer, DeGrom. Everybody else had DeGrom, Scherzer. So I would like to give him credit for taking the chance of being that guy. So, but, yeah, no surprise, no shock here at all. You were on board with me, right? You knew DeGrom was going to get this regardless?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they decided it months ago.
Yeah. Kind of ruins the fun out of the awards, doesn't it, when they just kind of, you know, here you go. And I also can't figure out why there were only 29 first-place votes for American League Rookie of the Year, but there's been 30 for everything else.
That is interesting.
So, you know, oh, no, they changed it. Now it's 20, now it's 30. What, did they not count a ballot the other day? So
I just don't get how you only pick 30 guys that get to vote on it. Just you have, you know, 8 million that vote for the Hall of Fame, but you're going to leave it to 30 guys who, you know, we should get Scott Boras involved and start a collusion case.
Well, he, you know, he probably is involved. Isn't he telling these guys to vote for his clients? You know.
Yeah. Well, Max Scherzer should have won then, or is DeGrom his client too?
No, DeGrom is actually, or was a client of a guy the Mets hired as general manager. I forgot his name off the top of my head, but his agent ended up becoming their GM.
Well, that's interesting.
So, yeah, I'm assuming that would mean, you know, they would probably have no problem re-signing DeGrom or however it worked out. But, you know, I guess we'll have to see who he goes with.
Yeah, I don't understand how that works, because if you remember when Jay-Z started his talent agency, he had to relinquish his ownership in the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah. So, well, obviously, you know, this guy had
great
to,
time.
You know, resign, however you want to look at it, as DeGrom's agent or whoever else he was representing. I thought it was kind of odd that, you know, how do you even interview for that? I mean, you're representing a client, and they go, hey, by the way, you want to be our GM? So. So, yeah, I guess that's how it goes. They wave at you, and they say, hey, you're the guy. But maybe that's why the Mets are the Mets. So, you know, we'll have to see. But again, yeah, no, you know, no gigantic surprise. You know, just you knew once they started talking about this award. I mean, even before the season was over, they had given this award to DeGrom, and there were, there were guys pushing for him for MVP. If you can believe that, I heard multiple conversations about them wanting him in the MVP discussion, and I'll be interested to know if he lands any votes tomorrow. So, you know, that would be a gigantic joke if you're plugging this guy into MVP, because, you know, I'll give you Cy Young. You know, he had a great ERA, he had a really good year, except he didn't win any games, which I still kind of believe is the ultimate goal, because I think the more games you win, the better your team does. But maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe they changed the rules on that as well. I don't know. You know, we'll see how it goes and how it plays out. But yeah, no big shock here with this one. And you know, now we'll just kind of move on to tomorrow and take it from there with the with the MVP and see how it goes. And yeah, like I said, if it's Mike Trout, I may not even do the podcast tomorrow. So that may just be too much for me. I may just be done. I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. So, but we'll see. It'd be great if I could get a vote, wouldn't it? You know, that would be fantastic if you could, throw a vote my way. Let me have a little input on this, and I could have helped you out greatly, and made things make a little more sense. But sadly, I do not get a vote. They wouldn't like me anyways because I would vote for guys they didn't think were deserving and all that other stuff, and they would probably take my vote away rather quickly because like I said, I think I had Trout fifth in my in MVP voting. I would have him barely in the top five, so. That's just kind of me, but we'll see how it goes. And I don't know, but yeah, tomorrow will be interesting. I don't really know who's gonna win. I'm thinking, we're looking at Mookie Betts and. Who's in the American? Who's in the National League? Why am I drawing a blank? As great as it would be to be like, see Javi Baez or something. Maybe we'll catch a break and get that to happen. But I severely doubt that. But hey, you never know, right? But obviously Dan and I will talk about it tomorrow for sure. Things go
Nolan
on.
Nolan Arenado.
Is he going to win it?
Phone. About what?
So, it will be, hopefully, like I said, they pay attention to what's going on.
I didn't know you were picking them up.
I don't have to go through the, the Mike Trout. So... we'll see how it goes. And why am I a blank on the rest of the National League nominees? So,
I know. So if you want to get him,
I guess
I can meet you right outside in front of
you. I'm
just one of those drawbacks. Let me see. I actually have to look it up. I can't believe I got to look it up. Let's see. The freaking why the hell can I remember it? Yeah, who the hell are the MVP nominees that I can't remember for the National League?
Arenado, Baez, and Mike Trout.
No, that's National League. So, so I'm not the only one who's.
I forgot who the third one.
See, okay. Yeah, I'm just for whatever reason I'm drawing a blank on who the heck it should be, and I don't know why I'm having these. Having these issues. I said, yeah, I'm destined to have to figure it out. So.
Well, haven't you seen it already? I thought that's what you were doing while you were kind of rambling on.
I was trying to get it, come up with it off the top of my head, and I feel stupid for not remembering Christian Yelich now. So.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I gotta look at the AL because it's Trout then. Who's the third guy?
It doesn't matter.
No, I know, but I still, wasn't there a Yankee? There's got to be a Yankee in there, right? No, they didn't nominate a Yankee. So.
No.
I don't want the betting odds. I just want to know who the guys are. I found the betting odds. Mookie Betts is favorite to win, but which is kind of a surprise because you would think he's favorite to win.
Isn't J.D. Martinez one of the finalists or no?
Well, no, he actually was one of the guys who didn't make it, which was kind of big talk because he didn't get in. So. That was a huge deal because he basically got snuck with Trout. They put Trout in over Martinez because, as you and I both know, Trout discussion. And I'm sure this is going to be another one I'm going to feel really stupid on. Yeah, because it's Jose Ramirez of the Indians. That's why I couldn't remember who it was. Because I kept thinking it should be Alex Bregman, and I'm probably going to continue to think it was supposed to be Alex Bregman. Just because everybody knows I'm right, and it should have been Alex Bregman or J.D. Martinez. It probably should have been Beth Martinez and Bregman, the three guys who were at the top. But, again, as we know, God forbid if you don't factor, Mike Trout into the voting every year. So, I had to turn off an interesting conversation earlier, Dan. It was so interesting that I turned it off. Because the question was, would Mike Trout be the unanimous MVP had he played the entire year? So then it just made me think more after I turned it off, that why is he nominated for MVP if he didn't play the whole year?
He played enough to qualify.
Yeah. So, if it was that big of a, if it was that big of an issue, it's going to stop him from winning the award. Why is he even up for it? Shouldn't there be somebody else there then? Yeah, I don't know, just making me crazy. But all right, Dan, I got to ask you a couple questions here as I'm thinking of them baseball-wise. Are you buying this hype that apparently the Yankees are doing all this Manny Machado research? Are you buying that as them being a legitimate contender to possibly sign him?
Well, I mean, he only – played in their division his entire career up until the second half of this season. So what extra research would they have to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I keep seeing people use the words like they're doing their due diligence, which I just kind of assumed is something a team should do before they signed a guy anyways. But again, that's just me. I don't want to assume things. I was just wondering, where you were buying the hype.
No, I mean, it's painfully obvious that the Yankees should do it. Do they want to continue on with Didi Gregorius, which I don't remember the term of his contract, but I don't imagine it being that much longer, as well as the Cubs should be doing their diligence as to do we want to continue with Addison Russell and possibly Javi Baez in that position, or do we want to take on a 7-8 year contract with Machado, as well as the White Sox. Do we want Tim Anderson there? Is he going to be there? And we put Machado at third. Doesn't the list go on except for quite possibly the Orioles and the Royals and the Marlins?
Yeah. Yeah, you would think, right? I mean, just kind of how that works out. But yeah, I guess just one of those things, that we just got to listen to for until he signs.
Yeah, I mean, one of the funniest things I kept hearing at work from the one guy, and you find it even funnier when I tell you why, but he's in the boat where he doesn't believe that the Cubs would or need to sign Machado or Harper, but thinks that Josh Donaldson would be a good pickup for a couple seasons, and then he just kind of bumped Bryant to the outfield. And I just kept thinking to myself, well, there's one guy, who are you forgetting about? And I looked at him the one day, and I go, well, what about your favorite guy, Kyle Schwarber? What does he do? And he just kind of goes, oh, yeah.
So, yeah, then the other story I saw today, I didn't get into it fully because the podcast started, but there were reports that, Bryce Harper and Scott Boras would consider a one-year deal for $45 million. Are you on board here? Is that something you would kind of be like, hey, okay?
Their side of it, yeah, I would take that.
Well, I mean, it's your team. I mean, if the Cubs decided to go in 1 year, $45 million for Bryce Harper, are you in on that?
If the option's for 20.
So, because that's, one of the, the funds that are going to, bounce out there, of course.
I mean, in the long run, if you think about it, paying all that is for 1 year is probably a lot better than 13 of those years.
Yeah, I mean, I would think, if if you seriously think that you're one player away, this could be something you could do. Like, there were some reports came out. I don't know if you saw these reports earlier in the week, but it was just a day or two ago I saw that apparently the Astros were very close to acquiring Harper at the trade deadline, and then the Nationals changed their mind. This kind of sounds almost like the perfect thing for a team like the Astros, right? You go 1 year at 45, and you try to win another title, right?
Yeah, and of all teams, I think that would fit them the most because who do they have playing right field?
Your guy, Josh Reddick.
Yeah. I think that is about a 99.9% upgrade in that position if you take Reddick out and put Bryce Harper in.
So yeah, that would be a significant upgrade. I think you call that. So but yeah, that was kind of the first thing that popped in my head. Was hey, let Houston call him and say, hey, all right, let's work this out.
Well, and not only that, with Marwin Gonzalez on that team. And if need be, there could be days where you could DH Bryce.
Yeah, and yeah, the American League like that could be a good fit because that would be perfect. You need an off-day. Well, let's keep your bat in the lineup. Here you go. Go ahead. So, that could be that was one of the more interesting moves. I don't know if it worked as well for another team. Kind of looking at the other teams. I mean, obviously, this is something like the Red Sox that it doesn't really fit around the players they have. And, the Dodgers either, with all the outfielders they kind of have stacked up. I don't know if, adding, a guy like Harper would really be the solution unless they re-sign Puig and him and Harper fight. But that could be fun to watch. But, yeah, I really thought when I saw it, you know, it was like, hey, yeah, this is a move for the Astros. You know, because I don't know where the hell the Cubs would play him. You know, great, unless they could find somebody to take Jason Hayward's contract.
Yeah, but for one season, they'd be able to work it out. You know, he could play second base some days.
So, yeah, you know, I'm sure that, you know, we'd have to see. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting with, it just kind of popped up, you know, and like I said, I didn't get to go through the whole thing, but I was like, oh, okay, that would definitely be an interesting situation for to consider. Because, yeah, obviously you'd only be strung up for the 1 year, and then I know, you know, they had been talking about looking for deferred money, so you might even be able to defer a little of it, you know, depending on what they're thinking.
If I were him, I'd, you know, take a 35 with $10 million coming years later.
Yeah. So, you know, just, yeah, kind of, you know, but yeah, like I said, I thought it was kind of an interesting scenario for really the Astros. You know, I'm not, you know, too many of the other deals. You know, and I know we're running up the clock here, but you know, I saw that Hyunjin Ryu was the only guy to accept the qualifying offer. I really thought that was a smart move for him with kind of his injury history and stuff. I'm not sure if he would have gotten more out on the actual market. Did you like that, or do you think he should have went out and tested?
No, I think he's smart to grab it.
Yeah, and I was a little surprised Yasmani Grandal didn't take it from the Dodgers. I mean, I don't see him getting that kind of money. You know, granted, he's a switch-hitting catcher, but we saw his defensive woes, and I don't see him getting that kind of money out there. I mean, what is it, 17.6 this year or something close to that?
Something like that.
Who's paying him off?
Definitely not the Brewers.
Are you paying Grandal that kind of money?
Maybe for two seasons.
So, you know, and I mean, you don't get, you know, Keuchel and, you know, Corbin and some of the other guys who turned it off. You know, they're gonna do better. You know, maybe, you know, AJ Pollock I would wonder about because he's got one of the worst injury histories out there. You know, I'm not sure what kind of money you could give him, but yeah, looking at Grandal, I was like, boy, man, I think you may have needed to grab this and kind of proved it for a year, but I guess we'll see. I mean, can we? Do you know, or do we still got a little bit to wait?
I think we have to wait.
All right. Well, tomorrow.